Our passage of scripture this evening is Judges chapter 3. We'll be in Judges chapter 3. We'll be reading from verses 7 through 11. Hear now from God's word, Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asheroth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so that the land had rest for 40 years. So then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have preserved your work in your word, that we can see what you've done for your people over time. We can see how you fulfilled your promises in so many ways. Father, we also see the warnings in Scripture. Help us this evening to come to your word with humble hearts, willing to learn. Help us to hear from you this evening. Father, I pray for myself as I speak that you will protect your word from me, that you will protect the hearers of my preaching from anything I may do to the right or to the left of your words. Father, I pray for your guidance and your help. Father, we pray that the Spirit will empower us to understand your word, to learn from your word, that you will teach us this evening, that you will transform us this evening into the likeness of Christ, that we will not be conformed to the likeness of this world. Father, we pray that you bless this time. In Christ we pray. Amen. So the book of Judges follows Joshua, which follows the Pentateuch. So if you're familiar with the Pentateuch, it basically covers the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, and then Joshua is the people entering into the Promised Land, and that leads us into the book of Judges. So I titled the sermon, How Quickly We Forget. Not how quickly Israel forgets, but how quickly we forget. Because as we read this text, as we read all of the story of the children of Israel, we see ourselves in their folly. We see our own behaviors in their cycles. We see the same cycles in our lives and microcosms of the same thing. And so we don't point the finger at them as we read this text. We see our own needs of Christ. We see their need of Christ, and we see our own needs of Christ. And as we approach the text, we need to have a humble approach to the text. There are many things that we don't want people to forget. The children of Israel here have forgot the Lord their God. They were warned not to forget the Lord their God. And there are many things in our own generations that we're afraid of people forgetting. We're afraid the people that fought in World War II are afraid people will forget about the war, how grand a scale this war was, the atrocities associated with the war. Many people don't even think that those atrocities are real today because they are so disconnected from it. So there are many things like that in our lives that we are afraid that people will forget because we are people that are prone to forget. I have a more lighthearted example of this. I went to a Goodwill store one time, and they had 45 records for 45 cents. So that's a pretty good deal. So I have a stack of records, and I bring it to the cashier. And as I walk up to the cashier, she rings it up, and it's a bit higher than I'm expecting the price to be. So I ask her, I said, aren't the 45s 45 cents? And she looks at it, and she holds it up, and she says, this is a cassette tape, right? Well, if you're familiar with a 45 record, it's round, it's a black disc about this big, and a cassette tape is rectangular, and it's got little wheels inside of it, has tape on it. Very different items. She had never used a 45 in her life. She had no idea what it was. She had no reason to know what a 45 was. She wasn't raised in a house where they had record players, obviously, so she didn't know what it was. That's a harmless thing to forget. But there are greater, more weightier things that we're talking about here that matter, that we can forget. And some people, if I say a 45, you may think of a gun. You may not think of the record at all. So our minds, we don't know everything, and we don't retain everything. But this word forget here is not just meaning that the children of Israel forgot the Lord. I think many of them had forgotten. I think it's obvious that they had literally forgotten in the sense that we use the word. But Scripture has a broader use of this word forget. Just like the Lord can remember something. Well, the Lord doesn't actually forget something. So what does it mean to forget and to remember? But to incline yourself would be to remember. So like if the Lord is remembering the children of Israel, that means he is inclining himself towards them. He's never forgotten them. He doesn't lose things in that way, not like our minds. So when you read those scriptures and you struggle with that, say, well, how does the Lord remember something? How does the Lord forget something? Well, it has a broader meaning. And that's what the children of Israel have done. When they've forgotten their Lord, it's not just that they've forgotten the great salvation that they have, but they've actually pulled away from the Lord. So consider that, too, as we look at this term, forget. So, chapter 3 begins by telling us why the Lord has left nations around the children of Israel. He has left the nations around the children of Israel to test them. That is, all of Israel who had not experienced the wars in Canaan. This is a generation now. They're getting further and further removed from the great salvation of their ancestors. They have not experienced the wars. They have not seen firsthand manna in the wilderness. They have not seen waters part. They have not seen a pillar of cloud, and they have not seen fire in the sky as the Lord's presence. They are a new generation, and the Lord is now testing this generation with the nations around them. And this word test here is the same test that you would use to refine something. So this is now going to expose the impurity of the people. This is showing the dross in their gold. This is showing that these are not a pure people. And we will see it because they serve the Baals and the Asheroth. And the Baals and the Asheroth, these are the gods of the nations around them. These are gods of fertility. These are gods of agriculture, the things that they need to survive. That means that they are leaning on the world's resources around them and not the God who has brought them there. Not the God who has planted them in a land with cisterns already hewn and vineyards already planted. All of this has been handed to them, yet they are turning to these foreign gods for their sustenance. They are turning to the foreign gods to sustain them. So that is the setting of the text. That is what is being exposed here, is that their hearts are not inclined to God, but instead they are leaning on the world's devices. Charlie, in our prayer just a minute ago, read from Romans. Paul is dealing with the same thing there. He is saying, don't be conformed to the world around you. Don't forget the salvation you have and be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's the same principle that we're dealing with right here. So as we go through the text, just consider that that is no different than the same exact principle that Paul is teaching in Romans. So the proposition for the sermon this evening is, how can such a great salvation be forgotten? Or put it positively, remember the Lord your God. Let's read now from verses 7, or beginning in verse 7. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asheroth. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. So as the people were disobedient, they suffered for their disobedience. The Lord raised up a foreign nation against them. A foreign leader now is dominating over the people. And this is because the Lord has put them into his hands. It's not Cushan-Rishathaim's strength that conquers the children of Israel. It says that the Lord has given them into his hand. This is a work of God that they are being overtaken by this man. And this is because they did not take care. They were warned several times in Deuteronomy explicitly says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God, over and over again. It's like If you've ever been driving on the highway and there's a four-way stop coming, and there's ridges in the road that remind you, and you hit them, and bump, 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 and then you get a little closer, bump, 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 and there's several sets of these. Deuteronomy does this several times. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. And they're even told explicitly, you will forget the Lord your God. This was coming. They knew this was coming. Yet they forgot the Lord their God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26 refers to this as Israel casting the law behind their backs. Even though they had been given this land, they cast the law of their Lord behind their backs. If I were to take my Bible now, and if I were to just heave it across the room, I think you would flinch. I think you would say, what is he doing? Does he not care about his Bible? Why is he throwing his Bible? But we do the same thing with our hearts all of the time. We've hardened our hearts to the point where we cast the scripture over our back and we do what we want. Yet we don't flinch about that. If this is in my house, I don't put this on a coffee table and then kick my feet up on top of it. This is the Bible. I take care of it. I recognize it physically, but do I recognize it in my heart? The Word of God is not restricted to the page, but it is the very Word that is on the page that should be penetrating our hearts, in our hearts, and not cast behind our backs. But it's so easy for us to forget that. So easy for us to forget the salvation we've been given and cast the law behind our backs. So how do we keep from forgetting our Lord? Well, I've got 3 points that all start with R-E this evening. We remember his reproof of his children, we remember his response, and we remember his restoration. So we'll look at how he reproves his children, how he responds to his children, and how he restores his children. These three things are seen over and over again in the lives of God's chosen people. Particularly, we see it in the cycle of the judges. You see this over and over again in Judges. Explicitly, all of these stay intact. And there's a cycle that goes, the children of Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord. Then a foreign nation comes against the people of Israel. They suffer for a period of time. Then after this period of suffering, now they cry out to the Lord. And then the Lord raises up a judge to deliver the people. And this deliverer delivers the people into a period of rest. Then after this period of rest, the judge dies. Then after the death of the judge, the people do evil again. And then you cycle again and again and again. And then you get to the end of the book of Judges, and it says, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And it's the most eerie passage of the Bible when I read it. I hate that verse because it's very unsettling. It's a terrible way to end a book. And many people I've spoken to about the book of Judges do not like the book of Judges. They think it's a depressing book, and it's just about a bunch of wickedness. But let's look at the Lord's deliverance. Let's look at the Lord's response to his children over and over again. Yes, they're sinning, and they continue to sin. Yet the Lord continues to be faithful to his promises. He continues to rescue them. He continues to hear them when they cry. And we have hope because this cycle is broken. We have a judge, we have a deliverer who lives forever. When Christ died, he rose again. The cycle is now broken. You see how with each cycle, the judge dies and then the people are left back at their own devices. That's not the case for you, Christian. Your judge is alive. Your judge is living. You are experiencing rest now, not rest fully. We spoke about that this morning. We talked about the kingdom in Sunday school this morning. We experience a taste of the kingdom now. We experience a taste of that rest now. The people of God have never fully known rest. Even the promised land, that was never fully rest. They only got a glimpse of it. Entering into Canaan, that was not it. That's not the true promised land. That still awaits us. So just as Israel got a taste, we get a taste now in the already not yet aspect of our salvation. We have rest in our salvation, but we do not know it fully. This cycle is broken, though, for us. And we must remember this. We must hold on to the salvation. The children of Israel, they saw the great works of God over and over again, yet they still fell away. And we, too, have experienced great salvation, and we can so easily forget that. When things go well and when life is easy, we forget how good God has been to us. So we must remind ourselves, he is a good God and he has been faithful to us. So we must remember that. We must remember that the Lord reproves his children, as we see in the text here, when they are disobedient. This foreign man, this Cushan-Rishathaim, is raised up, and he is used as an instrument of reproof for God's children. Many of us have had instruments of reproof in our home. Maybe it was a paddle. Maybe it was a wooden spoon. Just picture Cushan-Rishathaim as the wooden spoon of God. That is all he is. That is the only power he has. He is just a tool being used by the Lord. The Lord is sovereignly in control here, and he is disciplining the children whom he loves. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read from verses 3 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, consider this as you consider the discipline of a father. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? And then let's jump ahead to verse 11 here. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to all who have been trained by it. Our Father disciplines us as children, and it's painful in the moment. We may not understand how the Lord is working in the moment, but the fruit of it is righteousness. It's the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And it may feel like turmoil, and it may be turmoil as the Lord is working, as the Lord is purifying, as the Lord exposes our sin and draws out all of what needs to be addressed in us and causes us to cry out to him, causes us to come to him, our Father. He is working in ways that we do not understand, but the peaceful fruit of righteousness is the end goal. So remember his reproof. That's the first way we keep from forgetting our Lord. Remember, he is actively working in his children. So just as sure as he disciplines his children, he also hears the cries of his children. How does Christ's church keep from forgetting their Lord? They remember that he responds to them in their times of need. He responds to them when they cry to him. Let's hear from Judges chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 now. Verse 9. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged over Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. Just as Cushan-Rishathaim was able to overcome the Israelites because they were given into his hand, now we see the same exact language used now for Othniel. The Lord is now given this man over into his hands. So we see the Lord sovereignly working all of these things. He hears the cries of his children, and he rescues them. Why is this important? What significance is it that he hears and he responds? It's significant because we know that we can in confidence approach our God and know that he hears his children. Just as surely as he will discipline his children, he will surely hear your cries. A pastor friend of mine years ago adopted a child from Ethiopia. And when he adopted the child, him and his wife, they took the child home, and they noticed something pretty quickly, that the child did not cry. This child, when he was hungry, he did not cry. When he needed a diaper, he did not cry. When he was tired, he did not cry. The child quit crying a long time ago because no one at the orphanage would respond to his cries. That is not the way it is with our Lord. But this child, after he had good parents, he began to cry. As he saw them tending to his needs, he learned, I can cry to them They will care for me. They will respond to me when I cry. And he learned how to cry, and it was a beautiful thing. And that is a beautiful thing for us. Our Father hears our cries, and he responds to those. So cry out to your Father. It honors your Father to cry out to your Father, because you are expressing faith that he will respond to you in your time of need. Cry out to your Father. He is faithful. Remember how he heard the groanings of his children in Israel, and he had mercy on them? As they were in Egypt, he sends mercy. He is with them. He responds to them. He remembers his covenant with Abraham. He is constantly remembering everything he's promised. He is constantly tending to his flock and his children. So just notice these things. He is sovereignly working. He is sovereignly responding. Take confidence in these things. Remember how great your salvation is and how constant it is. This is an always thing. So do not forget your salvation. It is not something of the past. He is currently working in your lives. And the last point is to remember his restoration. Just as he hears their cries and he responds to them, he then restores his people. Let's look again at Judges chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, that would be Othniel, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. So the land had rest for 40 years, and then Othniel dies. And then the cycle will continue, just as every judge dies, and then the cycle continues. When will God's people finally experience rest? They've never fully experienced rest. And how will they experience rest? How will the Israelites experience rest? How do we experience rest? And by whom? It's by our judge, by our King Jesus that lives forever. Their rest is the same rest as ours. Their hope was the same rest as ours. It was Christ. It's always been Christ. We need redemption that lasts more than a generation. And that is precisely what the Lord has given us. He didn't give us 40 years of rest. He didn't give us rest for this life here and now. He gave us eternal rest for eternity. So it may not feel like you're experiencing rest, and it's because you're not. You only experience rest in part now. You will fully experience rest with the judge who is alive forever, with Christ. And we have all of this, an eternal rest with Christ. So how do we keep from forgetting our Lord? How do we keep from forgetting such a great salvation? We remember his reproof, we remember his response, and we remember his restoration. He graciously deals with his children, but how can we forget such a great salvation? Turn with me, if you have your Bible again, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So we see this. This is even before our passage in Judges. We see the people of God falling away. We see the great salvation that they've experienced. We've seen the mighty act of God that they have seen time and time again. Yet with most of them, it says, he was not well pleased. If they can see such great things, we should be careful, lest we forget the Lord our God. We should be careful. We should heed the same warnings that we see throughout the book of Deuteronomy, to be mindful, to be watchful, to be alert, to remember the Lord our God. This is not a passing fad. It's okay if I forget what a 45 record is. And as bad as it would be, if I forgot about World War II, that's okay too in the eternal scope of things. But we cannot forget where salvation comes from. We cannot forget that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is the only God. All of the other things that we may lean on, that the world sees as a means to an end, a way of living, those will not sustain us. Those will not provide for us. We must lean on the Lord. We must remember that. Our kids, they don't need 45 records. But our kids, they need the same salvation that we have. We must pass it on to them. And the text is dealing with a generation that's even further removed from these great acts of God. And we see that that's actually pointed out at the beginning of the chapter, that these people have not experienced war. They're not tested. And what was passed down to them from the previous generation? We have the same responsibilities. We must remind our children of the great salvation that we have experienced, the great deliverances of God in our lives. We must speak to them about the ways that God has provided for us, the way that God has answered our prayers, our own testimonies. We all have testimonies of the work of the Lord in our hearts. And we do well to remind ourselves of these things and our children and our neighbors. We need Jesus. We need Scripture. That is the means by which we'll be sustained. We need the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we need to speak of Scripture often. This morning, our text was on the Scripture and how the Scripture applies to all of our lives, not just salvation. So once we become a Christian, we don't put away our Bibles, but we return to our Bibles. We return to our Bibles corporately, like we're doing now as we meet together. We return to our Bibles individually as we read our Bibles at home. As we do family worship with our families, we preach to ourselves. We remind ourselves of the Scripture. We remind our families of the Scripture. Deuteronomy, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11 both say this, that as you are going with your children, raise them up in the Word. Raise them up in the house as you go out on the way. Put it on the precipice of your door. Put it over your gates. You see that picture there? Within your home, as you leave the home, both of those, as you're in your home, as you're on the way, on your door, on the gate. You see how it moves from in the home and then outwardly? Everywhere you go, all of life needs to be saturated in Scripture. That is what we heard this morning, and we were blessed to hear that, and we need to hear that often. So take care lest you forget the Lord your God. And just as the children of Israel needed to be reproved, that word of God will reprove you. As you approach that word, sharper than a two-edged sword, sometimes the grace of God must wound you in order to heal you. And that is what happens when we come to the Word. We are reproved just like the children were. And we are broken by that Word. And we have to cry out to that Lord. We are reminded of our need of rescue. So remember that the Lord will reprove you by His grace. Remember that the Lord will respond to you as you are broken. Even if it's by His grace. Even if it's by Him wielding the circumstances of your life to bring you to your knees, to cause you to cry out, remember that that is a reminder of your salvation. That is a reminder that He will respond to your cries. That is a reminder that He will restore you. He doesn't cast you away if you're His child. And that's encouraging. The Lord refines you because He wants to keep you. And that is a good thing. It may feel like you're being punished sometimes as the Lord is working sanctification in your life. But that refinement means that you are precious to Him. That refinement means that He loves you as a child and that He is working on you. So cling to that. Cling to the hope of your salvation. So just to close this out, He has restored His people. Sin has separated us from Him. Sin places us under His wrath. But as we cry out to Him, Jesus gives us rest. And I hope that we have that rest this evening. If you don't know what I'm talking about, cling to Jesus for rest. He is the only place where we'll ever know rest from. He is the source of rest. This is the means that God appointed for us, that we would have salvation through Christ, that we would know restoration through Christ, that we would know rest through Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that you did not leave us to our devices, and that you, time and time again, remind us of our needs, remind us of our weakness and the frailness of our flesh. You remind us that we are prone to forget. You also remind us that you respond to us, that you hear us, and that you are not far off. Father, we thank you for the Psalms that remind us of this, that as we cry out to you, you are not far from us, even when it feels like it. Father, help us to remember our salvation this evening. In Christ we pray. Amen.